السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. رسالة الشريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. I'm going to share with you a point from the prophetic job description. You know, you have a job description and it tells you what your roles and tasks will be. So what was the job description of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We call this Maqasidun Nubuwa. That's not the topic of today, but I'm just going to mention one of the items from the job description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And where do we know this? He said it himself in different places. He said, why did Allah send me? So one of the descriptions of his job, his task, his role, his responsibility, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq." This is one of the reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to planet Earth. What's your why? What's your why? Why are you here? What's your reason? He's telling us, one of the reasons Allah sent me, my job description, this is one of my roles, tasks, duties, responsibilities that I am answerable for. When I stand in front of Allah, Allah is going to ask me, this is why I sent you. Did you do this? So one of those things is, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I was sent, one of the only reasons that I was sent, إِنَّمَا هِزِزْ. One of the only reasons, from the few reasons, that I've been sent to this world is to perfect good character. To perfect good character, not just good character, to perfect it, to make it brilliant. Akhlaq, good character, good moral, good conduct, to take it to the peak, to the excellent level, to the pinnacle, the best of the best. And we see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was challenged with this. When he was made a Nabi and sent to his community, some people came to him that were already kind of refined, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Even prior to Islam, he didn't worship idols, he didn't drink alcohol, he was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You could say he was already half a Muslim before Islam, meaning he had a lot of Islamic traits. But then at the same time, in the same masjid, in the same community, in the same saf, you had individuals who'd walk into the masjid, pull down their pants and start urinating. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made room for even such individuals as well. There were people that were drinking alcohol and almost all of them were idol worshippers. Idol worship, shirk. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had an expansive heart. And through his moral conduct, his character, he made room and created space in his heart for everyone. There was no one who was marginalized because of a trait, because of a character, because of a skin color, because of their language, because of the way they looked. Rather, he empowered each and every person and he refined them. And he took them from where they were to what they became in such a short period of time. And he clearly mentions this by saying that one of my only reasons for coming into this world is to enhance excellent character. And anything that undermined excellent character, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the lack of good character harms you as an individual before it harms your neighbor or your community. The lack of good character is going to be harmful for the individual first before it harms others. And one such evil, unworthy, ungodly, harmful character that will cause you pain before other people It will create mistrust within families, neighborhoods, societies, and in the world. It will make you extremely paranoid about everyone around you. And it will create an environment of hate. Something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted. That if you want to stay away from these kind of things, then there is one ungodly, one unworthy, and one evil trait that we must abstain from. Run as far as possible away from. And ensure that we are clear from it and we do not indulge in it. And what is that? It's having or holding negative assumptions about other people. Passing judgment on other people. Negative assumptions. Su'ul dhan. In the Quran and the Sunnah, it's known as su'ul dhan. In Urdu, we say badgumani. In English, we say having bad assumptions about other people. And this is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted. That avoid assuming the worst of people and the worst of situations. And that's something we generally do. Something happens, we want to assume the worst. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, in the Quran, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. Abstain and stay away from most assumptions. كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. He didn't say all of assumptions. He said most assumptions. Why? إِنَّ بَعْدَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Why? Because many assumptions are sinful. Many assumptions are detrimental to your faith. Many assumptions will land you in a lot of deep trouble. So stay away from them. Now, he says many and not all. Sometimes, if you're a kid, you can think about your childhood. If you were a kid, for example, and you messed around, and you were extremely, you just played up, you did something you weren't supposed to, and then your mom, you can see her physically getting angry. You've seen her getting angry because you've provoked that. And then she goes down and she takes her slipper off, and she lifts it in the air. And she's running behind you. Would I be wrong to assume that my mother's gonna give me a wallop next minute? In the next minute? Would I be wrong to assume that? Can I assume that? Yes, I can. Because the evidence is very clear right in front of my eye. First of all, I messed up. Secondly, I can see she's very, very angry. Thirdly, she's gone down, picked her slipper up. Fourthly, she's lifted her hand. Fifth, she's running after me. And sixth, this happens every single day. Right? So I've got a very good reason here. I am allowed to assume. This doesn't come here. Inna ba'da dhanni. I am allowed to do dhan that my mother is going to give me a wallop. So what will I, just stand there and have a good assumption? Ah, she's my mom. She's not going to do it. No, she is going to do it. And if I stand there, she's going to hit me even more. So I need to run. Run for my life. Go to my hiding place, wherever it is. So this is an exception. This is not in the category of having bad assumptions. So sometimes it's very obvious and clear. Then we have other instances where, for example, we must, this is dhannul wajib, the ulama say, sometimes we must assume certain things. For example, when you are seeking marriage, when you are making a business contract, you're carrying out a transaction and you're finalizing the details. And if there's a detail in the marriage, or if there's a detail in the contract of the business or the trade or the transaction, and it's not very clear, in that case you're not going to be told, oh, assume it's everything will be fine. No. Question. That's where you will question. Can I just ask about this? This doesn't sound right. Can you clarify? You're allowed to assume. Why? Because that is the ulama say you need to get it right there. You're signing a contract. You're making an agreement. Things must be right. You're signing something. So get it right. So there, yes, you can assume. And you can make an assumption. Maybe, is this clause? I don't really understand it. Can you clarify? I don't think it's got my best interest at heart. Can you just clarify that, please? You're allowed to assume there. However, then we have another scenario where the ulama say that, say, for example, you're debating with someone. I'm debating, Iqbal Bhai is debating with me. So Iqbal and me are having a debate. We're having this debate, it's going on and on. We don't agree on anything we're talking about. And then randomly he makes a comment. And that comment sounds insulting. But there's a possibility of me taking another meaning. The ulama say, even though this comment could be taken as an insult, 75%, and there's a 25% chance of me taking this as a compliment, the ulama say, as a Muslim, I should take this as a compliment. Not sarcastically, when we say, I'll take that as a compliment. We say it sarcastically. No. Our hearts, as a Muslim heart, trying to reach excellent character, if we want to build a community, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, that you will assume the best. That he is a Muslim, she is a Muslim. Yes, this sounds insulting. However, there is a possibility that it could mean something good. So I'm going to take the good. This is the instruction we've been given. It sounds insulting. Now we take it another level down. For example, this brother's getting married. He didn't invite me. Okay? He didn't invite me to his wedding. Now, this is where it starts. What do we do now? Someone close to you didn't invite you to their wedding. These kind of scenarios happen almost every day, where someone close to you does something. They've not told you why they've done it, but it's all going on in here. We're cooking and brewing, so many things are going on inside. So what do I say to myself? I'm gonna think, he didn't invite me on purpose. He did not invite me on purpose. He hates me, he doesn't like me. That's why he didn't invite, he's not said anything. I have no proof, I have no evidence. The Quran is saying, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. This is where we need to be very careful. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, it's not just imperative to stay away from the backbiting of the tongue. Because if we are having assumptions about other people, you're backbiting them with the heart. And the backbiting of the heart starts and leads to the backbiting of the tongue. And we're going to speak about that very shortly. Why is it so hard for us to give up backbiting? Look at the Quranic sequence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, avoid and stay away from assumptions. If you don't stay away from assumptions, it's going to lead you to other things, including backbiting. If you allow it to come in your heart and fester, and you keep thinking about it and believe it, then it's going to become suspicion. That's going to lead to backbiting. That's going to lead to hate. That's going to lead to envy. That's going to lead to jealousy. How are we going to have a good, nice, harmonious community or family when we're going to always be paranoid and mistrusting each other? And that's what's happening at the moment. That's what's happening. May Allah protect us. May Allah save us. So, and another one, let's go further. Like, I actually wasn't invited by this guy. So it kind of sparked a few emotions inside me. I got a bit upset. It wasn't right of me to make a bad assumption, but he did do something and it did strike something in me. On the flip side, this is another category where most of our assumptions lie. If we see a brother or a sister driving a really nice car. You've seen someone driving a really nice car. They've got a Porsche, they've got a Ferrari, they're driving down the road. And then we start to assume this guy must be dealing in drugs. There's no way, how else did he get it? How else? You tell me. This first happens inside, and when it keeps happening inside, then we let it out. No one just lets it out. First it happens inside. How else? This person must be dealing in haram. How else? What evidence do you have? What proof do you have? Even if they did, even if it's true, how can you see that? And this is something we're doing, and it's leading to the paranoia. It's leading to the breakdown of families. It's leading to breakdown of relationships, of friends, of communities. There is so much of an effort to build communities, yet the most detrimental and harmful thing that Allah has advised about, we're not staying away from. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann. O believers, abstain and stay away from making assumptions about other people. These assumptions, the imaginative assumptions, negative judgment about other people, delving into the intentions of other people. And the ulama say this is a disease of the heart. It's a disease. Like we understand physical diseases, this is actually a disease. I need to treat myself. I need to work on myself. It's not going to go away. And sadly, we all suffer from it. Every single one. Maybe some of you don't like it that I'm saying it, but it's the truth. Every single one of us sitting here, we are suffering from this illness and disease of the heart, of assuming the worst, thinking bad or making bad judgments about other people. And the Quran in very strong words says, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. You must abstain. You must abstain. Why? Because this disease exists. Now we might thinking, why does this disease happen? Why do I have this inside me that I assume the worst of other people? You know why? It's because of my own sins. The ulama mention that this happens because of your own evil. Because then we start projecting our evil onto other people. If I'm evil myself, I will see evil in other people. If I backbite, if I've got a bad habit of backbiting, then I'm going to assume that he backbites me. If I'm stealing, I'm going to always say, oh, he must have stole it. If I'm doing something, I'm going to start seeing that in other people. So the ulama mentioned, الشرير لا يظن بأحد خيرا لأنه لا يرى إلا بطبع نفسه. The ulama mentioned that an evil, sinful person never assumes good about another person. Why? Because they see through their own sinful lens. I give you an example. You're sitting in your house relaxing. It's a nice summer day like it is now. You're looking through the window and your next door neighbors are putting out their laundry. They're putting out their laundry. They're putting out the bed sheets, white bed sheets that have just gone in the washing machine. You're sitting there and you're looking at it thinking, crazy people next door. Why are they putting out dirty bed sheets? Why would you put it out to dry? It's not even clean. In reality, the bed sheets are clean. It's your window that's dirty. And every time you look out of that window, everything you see is dirty. Every person you see is dirty. Every situation you see is dirty. Every person, individual, circumstance, everything just keeps looking dirty to you. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qala halaka an-nas." If you ever come across a person who always keeps going on about people are messed up, everything's so bad, things are just crazy around here, everyone's doing haram. Do you know what? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Fahuwa ahlakuhum." He's the most messed up. Those people who keep complaining about other people, making negative assumptions about other people, they are the most negative people. I'm not saying this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this kind of attitude is not the attitude of a Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come to enhance the negativity. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to enhance excellent and perfect good character. And that starts by assuming the best in other people, not assuming the worst. Making bad assumptions about other people is dangerous and it ruins a person. And a sign, what's a sign? How do I know that I'm doing this? A sign is when we start ascribing hidden intentions to other people's actions. When we start ascribing, listen to this part carefully. When we start ascribing hidden intentions to other people's actions, we're living in a time, I have a lot of discussions with a lot of people, and especially on the fact that sometimes we try to really hone in what is your purpose, what is your goal, what is your intention. And you know what? A lot of people don't really know their why. When I'm not even sure about why I'm doing something, how can I be so sure about someone else's intention? A lot of us go around life without any planning, without any intention, yet we're so sure about what his intention is and what her intention is. Even when sometimes a person says something to us, a person says something, a statement has been said, and we're so bravely and courageously say, we have the audacity to say, but this is what he really means. This is what she he is saying very clearly, that this is what I believe. And then I to go around and say, but no, what he really believes is this. How do you know? How do you know? You don't even know your own intention. How can you be so sure about somebody else's intention? And this has become so normal that we don't think of it as any bad. And the reason why this must be highlighted is because when it comes to good character and developing brotherhood, sisterhood, and a good society and a community, this is the first step mentioned in the Quran and the first step mentioned in the Sunnah. If you want to develop, if you want to grow, if you want to become better as individuals and a society, then the first thing we need to do is to stop assuming the worst in other people. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann. Abstain from most assumptions. Inna ba'da dhanni ithmun. Because most of these evil assumptions, they fall in the category of sin. The ulama say, if you see a person, his beard is soaked in alcohol, you see with your own eyes, somebody's beard is soaking in alcohol, it's your responsibility to assume somebody must have thrown it on him. Even if you saw him walking out of the pub. Are you a Muslim? Are you a Muslim? This is the heart of a Muslim. It seems we've not met many Muslims yet. But that doesn't mean we remain on that. It means, this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people who Islam has entered their tongues, but it hasn't entered their hearts. La tattabi'u awrat al-muslimin. Do not go and seek out the faults and the sins of Muslims. And do not backbite them. Do not hate on them. Do not have envy with them. Because if you do, then Allah will expose your sins. And remain as a society, slaves of Allah and brothers and sisters. Can you see where it starts from? If you want to have a good community, a good family, if you want to have harmony between each other, then we need to avoid all of these things. How do we avoid all of these things? He started from the beginning. Don't look for people's problems. Because if you look, and what does it mean, the faults of others, meaning their sins? Don't take an interest in other people's sins. Don't show an interest. To us, like as soon as we find out some juicy information about somebody, like it's as if Eid has come early. We get excited. How shallow and sad have we become that we rejoice on the downfall of other people? This is not the prophetic way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to enhance the lives of other people, to make people better, to bring people closer to Allah, to ensure that everybody's a winner and nobody's a loser. How shallow is it that somebody else's loss is my gain? This is the way we see things. I will only gain by other people losing. No, we want them to win. We want us to win. And the Quran says, "Wala taqfu ma laysa laka bihi ilm." Don't say that you don't have knowledge of. Why? Because you will be asked regarding your in the sam'a wal basar wal fu'ad. You'll be asked about your intention, not about his and her intention. We're so quick to judge. This is why he did it. How do you know? You don't even know why you're doing your own thing. And what's interesting is this word that Allah uses, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu, ijtinab. Allah has used it a few times in the Quran. And ijtinab means to abstain from something severely. Like stay away from it completely, totally, abandon it. Don't even go near it. Do you know where Allah has used this word before in the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it regarding idolatry, idol worship and shirk. Allah uses it regarding alcohol. And Allah uses it regarding gambling. And now we see Allah uses it regarding having evil assumptions about other people. Why? If we look at the Quran, you will find Allah uses the word ijtinab in the Quran for destructive things. Things that destroy. For example, when he says, abstain from idol worship, ijtanibu, he says, min al-awthan, wajtanibu qawla zhur. Where he uses that, do you know why? Because that destroys your relationship with Allah. Idol worship destroys your relationship with Allah. When he uses it with alcohol, innamal khamru wal maisir. He says fajtanibu when he uses with alcohol, because alcohol destroys your faculty to think clearly. When he uses it regarding gambling and maisir, do you know why? Because gambling destroys your wealth. And when he uses it regarding having bad assumptions about your brother or sister, do you know why? Because it destroys brotherhood and sisterhood. It destroys families. It destroys communities. We can never build a community, never build a successful family, never build any loving relationship if we continue assuming the worst in other people, thinking bad about other people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises regarding the ulama say, if somebody claims, you hear somebody saying, "Ana rabbukumul a'la," I am the greatest Lord. He's claiming a deity. The ulama say, you should assume that he must be reading the ayah of the Quran where Fir'aun said, "Ana rabbukumul a'la." And yet today, even when people aren't saying things, we're so quick to judge on other people and ascribing intentions to them where we're not even sure about our own intentions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. I'm going to conclude on a story from the Sunnah so that we can understand. And that is regarding Usama bin Zayd. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a very close companion to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One time he was in the battlefield. Whilst he was fighting with his sword, he comes across an opponent and he grabs the sword and he's about to knock him on the ground. And his opponent drops his sword. When the opponent drops the sword, what happens? Osama bin Zayd now has the upper hand. The opponent is on the ground. The opponent begins to say, "La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah." Osama bin Zayd said, "What? La ilaha illallah? You, just because you dropped your sword," and he kills him. He kills him when he comes back to Medina Munawwara. He comes back to Medina Munawwara and he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so angry. He said, "Aqataltahu ba'da an qala la ilaha illallah?" Did you kill him after he said la ilaha illallah? Usama said, "O Prophet of Allah, he only said it fearing death." And of course the situation was there. He was about to kill Usama bin Zayd. And then he dropped his sword and he quickly said, "La ilaha illallah." He had a reason. Despite that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Aqataltahu an ba'da an qala la ilaha illallah." He kept repeating it. "Did you kill him after he said la ilaha illallah?" "Usama, ya Rasulallah, he was about to kill me. He only said it fearing his death." "Aqataltahu ba'da an qala la ilaha illallah?" "You killed him after he said la ilaha." Usama kept giving his reasons. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something which I want you all to leave with. He said, "Fakayfa tasna'u? Fakayfa tasna'u bila ilaha illallah idha ja'atka yawm al-qiyamah?" What are you going to do with when that man on the day of judgment, he brings la ilaha illallah? What face are you going to show? How many occasions how many people's intentions have we attacked on the day of judgment when they are standing in front of us with their la ilaha illallah and with their good intentions? How are we going to show our faces? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand, like Imam Ghazali says, this is a disease of the heart. Backbiting starts here before it comes here. If you want to avoid it on the tongue, start avoiding it in the heart. Stop assuming the worst about other people. Start thinking good and positive. And even if there's a reason for you, do you know what? You're not responsible for somebody else. Allah's gonna ask me about my intention. Even if someone's doing bad, apparently, that's not my job. That's not my duty. It's not my responsibility. Min husni Islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. One of the greatest qualities a Muslim has is leaving those things that have got nothing to do with. Mind your own business and assume the best of other people. And if you do that, even if they're doing wrong, you'll get rewarded for it. On the flip side, if we assume the worst and their intention is good, then we're going to get sin for ourselves. It's going to lead to backbiting. It's going to lead to envy. It's going to lead to hate. And it's all based on what? It's based on a big lie. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Iyyakum wa dhann, fa inna dhanna akdhabul hadith." So stay aware and beware from evil assumptions. Why? Because having evil assumptions is the worst of all lies. There cannot be a worse lie than assuming bad about other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.